Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I want to give you some hope today, and I want to give you a trumpet blast today. And I might have to speak quick because I used to be, this chapel was at 10:10, and CE was at 10:10. So if the speaker went long, we just missed our next class. And we always enjoyed the speakers that would go extra long. Some of you might have heard of Dr. Behrens. Boy, he could preach a long time. So we're all excited, always excited when Dr. Behrens was on the schedule. Now they moved it to 11 o'clock. That was just evil. Because if I preach long, you're going to miss lunch and you're not going to want to see me again. So I'll have to just keep this short. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read this, much of this text. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 21 through 28. Because that when they knew God... Now, I want you to focus on those four words. These are not people who are ignorant, not people who never heard. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. We're going to see that three times. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up. That's the second time. God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Go back to verse 21. Notice, when they knew God. That's how we start in verse 21. Now in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, that's the third one, to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Father, you know that the topic that we're going to look at today can be a difficult one. And Father, what we want is your Holy Spirit to bring that illumination, to teach us the meaning of the passage, the interpretation, and then to apply it to our lives. And I specifically pray that these young people would catch a vision for being the anchors to truth in a society that is completely unmoored. So help us, Lord, with that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is Outrage is Not the Answer. Outrage is not the answer. As I was preparing this message, I was actually running. I try to run to stay in shape. I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job because round is a shape. And I'm running, and I'm not paying attention, and it's California. This was just a week ago, California, and so it's already pretty warm there. There were gnats out. My part of California, for some reason, has these little tiny gnats, and they gather in swarms of hundreds, and normally when I see them coming, I try to avoid them or whatever. I wasn't paying attention. I ran right through a swarm of gnats, and I had them in my nose and in my eyes and in my mouth, all these little bits of protein, and What's your first thought? Is it to stop and get angry? This is so stupid, all these gnats. I know what we should do. We should stop and fight off the gnats. We'll kill every single one. No, you know, sometimes the best thing is to just keep running. Now, I am burdened for you young people. I don't know what your families you come from. Some of you, I know your families. I don't know what families you come from. I know what churches you come from. But I know on the West Coast, I've got a lot of pastors. They're really upset about some things. They are so angry. They're so angry that they've forgotten that the power is the Word of God. Amen. And outrage is not the answer. Sometimes you just got to keep running the race that God has set before you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit today, before I get to the meat of my message, about the reprobate mind, which is why we read this passage. The reprobate mind does not function correctly. So you're going to meet a lot of people today whose minds no longer function correctly. And at first, you may be shocked. How can they even think that? But remember, outrage is not the answer. Telling them they're stupid is not the answer. They profess themselves to be wise, don't they? They're fools, but they say they're wise. So I want you to understand what the reprobate mind is so we know what the solution is. A reprobate mind absolutely refuses to accept God's truth as the truth. Just will not accept God's truth as the truth. You can show them what Scripture says, and you know what the reprobate mind says? Nope, that's not right. That's a reprobate mind. The second thing a reprobate mind does is it refuses to stay within the limits that are inherent in nature. And finally, it believes that humans can construct their own reality. So let me give you a few examples. And remember, outrage is not the answer. In my state of California, they recently, last year, passed Senate Bill 132. Senate Bill 132 requires the state prison system to give inmates the opportunity to be imprisoned according to their gender identity. And we now have people with XY chromosomes in prisons that are mainly populated by people with XX chromosomes. And if you don't know XY from XX, don't worry. We have Supreme Court justice that doesn't either. Outrage is not the answer. I mean, I can get mad. I have church members who are in and out of state prison all the time because they're prison officers. But they're in and out of state prison. They got to deal with this stuff. No, I'm serious. They have to do it. The state prison is in my town of Vacaville. One of the state prisons is in my town of Vacaville, and I have at least two men that work there, and a third lady who's getting ready to join that place. Anyway, outrage is not the answer. If you go to Worcester, Massachusetts, anyone here from Massachusetts? We used to have some people from Massachusetts. I see we don't anymore. In Worcester, Massachusetts, you can go to the city clerk and get a marriage license for three people. I kid you not. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying that they said, you can't. Outrage is not the answer. The most recent email of concern that I received from a fellow pastor in my state, fellow pastor there in the state of California, Senate Bill 2223, which is currently working its way through the California Senate, would allow people to kill babies even after they are born. And it provides for citizens to sue any state officer, state official, who investigates such a killing. Now, it hasn't passed yet. It may not, I don't know. You say, how can these people think these are good ideas? Because they have a reprobate mind. I don't want you to be confused. Like, well, maybe there's, maybe they know something we don't know. No, they don't know. They have a reprobate mind. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because God is cruel and vicious? No, because they chose not to retain God in their knowledge. The reprobate mind, by the time we get to this point in a person's decision making, the reprobate mind has already crashed through a couple of guardrails on its way over the cliff. Let me show you these guardrails in your text here. The first guardrail is actually in verse 20. We didn't read that. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The reprobate mind starts by denying that God is the creator. That's where a reprobate mind starts. Now, I find great joy in reading about the details of creation and catastrophe. It's all around us. There's evidence all around us that God created not just the world, but created the human body. But they deny all that. The second thing that a reprobate mind does, crashing through guardrail number two, they replace God with idols. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. And verse 25, they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. They placed other idols in their heart. Now, I seriously doubt any of you are going to be knocking doors one day and go into somebody's house and there's going to be an idol there. But we do have idols. Americans do have idols. Hopefully they're not your idols. Let me give you a couple idols that I've noticed among people in California. One is the idol of government. They really expect government is going to solve all their problems. How do I know this? Because when they're between jobs, they're expecting the government to provide more than they're expecting God to provide. What have they done? They've elevated government to this position of supreme provider. Now, government has a purpose. I am not an anarchist. But government's purpose is not to provide for you. God says, I will provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not Governor Newsom is my shepherd, I shall not want. Government. They've replaced the God of goodness with the God of government. They've replaced the God of salvation with the God of science and technology. Maybe you've done that. You figure that somehow science and technology is going to solve all our problems. It won't. It won't. Now, I'm for science. I'm for technology. I love technology. In fact, my wife sort of keeps me bound so that I don't just buy the latest gadget. It just sort of tickles my brain to think about buying new technology. But technology is not the answer to man's problems. They've replaced the God of eternity with the God of entertainment. You may knock on someone's door, go into their house, and see posters of some actor or actress or singer on their walls. Why do they put those pictures up? That's who they aspire to be like, isn't it? That's who they think is going to make them happy. They go out and see the movie as soon as it comes out. They don't buy discs anymore. Okay, they go out and they find that Spotify playlist as soon as their music comes out. What have they done? They've replaced the God of eternity with the God of entertainment. Sunday night, you're going to meet here. Well, not here. You're going to meet over there. But you're going to meet on the campus here. And you're going to be singing praises to the Lord. But I tell you what, for the 1,000 people that are here on Sunday night, there's multiple thousands at the theaters all around town. And what are they doing? They're getting their fill of entertainment, thinking that entertainment is going to satisfy their needs. We've replaced the God of kindness with the God of consumerism. We think that buying stuff is going to make us happy. Now, as I know, you're poor college students. Nobody here has money to buy stuff. But I see it in my church even. You know, Pastor, I've got a few more gadgets coming, a few more things coming, a little bit more furniture from my house, and then I will be happy. Trust me, stuff will never make you happy. But they've replaced the God of kindness with the God of consumerism. So guardrail number one, they're going to reject that God is the creator. Guardrail number two, they're going to replace him with idols, with false gods. Guardrail number three, they're going to ignore the natural order of things. Now, this is hard to comprehend because these same people that are ignoring the natural order of things keep telling us, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. And you say, okay, well, science shows that as soon as a baby is conceived, it has its own genetic code. And within just a few weeks, it has a beating heart and its own blood flowing through its... No, that's not science. Because they're ignoring the natural order of things. Now, it's always been true that there has been rebellion against God's word. That's the heart of sinful man. Americans in general, we've gone beyond that to where we are rebelling against just how things work. It's like you and your friend standing on the roof of your house, and your friend has a couple pieces of cardboard strapped to his arms, and he says, "Watch, I can fly." Now, if you have a biblical mind, you're going to say, no, please don't jump. You're going to hit the ground. If you have a reprobate mind, you go, yeah, that might work. And by the time he hits the ground, you have an excuse. Not enough cardboard. Cardboard's wrong. We need different types of wings. We need more science. We need more government. No. Trust me, the answers. I told the students in that class this morning, the answers that you need are in God's word. And the reason we're talking about the reprobate mind is I don't want you to be surprised when you meet a reprobate out there and they start talking and it doesn't make sense to you. Don't be surprised. It's not because they're smarter than you are. It's because God has given them over to a reprobate mind. These people could know the truth, but they choose to believe a lie. Look at verse 25 with me. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed it. They could know the truth. Guardrail number four, they try to erase all knowledge of God. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They think they can get rid of him. I don't have time. Again, I'm going to leave a tidbit for those of you that are a little more studious. You need to look up an essay called The Madman by Friedrich Nietzsche. Nietzsche is not a Christian. He's a terrible philosopher, absolutely evil and godless. But he got one thing right. When we think we have gotten rid of God, when we think we've disposed of God, when we think we've pushed God completely out of the picture, where do we get truth from? Where do we get morality from? Who's to say cannibalism isn't a good idea? Once you've crashed through those four guard rails, God gives people over to a reprobate mind. They can no longer define what a family is. They can no longer define what a woman is. They don't even understand the importance of protecting just born life, much less pre-born life. All of this comes out of a reprobate mind. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, you know, Pastor Dean, that's very fascinating. I'm glad you're in California. We're here in Indiana. We're Midwesterners. We come on. Well, don't I understand? Just last month, March, Governor Eric Holcomb, here in Indiana, had a chance to sign a bill that would prohibit people with XY chromosomes from participating in sports with people with XX chromosomes. Did he sign the bill? You have no idea, do you? You don't follow politics. Okay. He vetoed the bill in Indiana. I'm telling you, the reprobates are coming for you. They are. Now, they're in California right now, sure. They're running the state government of California right now. I understand that. But trust me, they're coming for you. They're coming for you subtly. They're coming for you subtly through the culture. And as I mentioned last night, it's like water. It's in the air you breathe. It's in the water you drink. It's in the food you eat. You don't even notice it. That's why it's so important to saturate our minds with Scripture so that we can tell what's true from what's false. When I read a book, when I watch a video, when I hear music, how do I know what's right and wrong? I don't pick up the phone and call Pastor Armacost. He's a nice guy, but he never answers my calls. I always get a secretary, and they say, yeah, well, let him know you called, and then he calls back like 4 weeks later. I couldn't live life like that. I better know what the Word of God says. I'm not interested in what your pastor says as much as I'm interested in what the Word of God says. And I love your parents, and you better follow them to the ends of the earth, those of you that God's blessed with good parents. But it's more important what the Word of God says than what your parents say. It's more important what the Word of God says than what I say. My authority to preach doesn't come because I'm somebody. It comes from the Word of God. Saturate your mind with Scripture so that you're not subtly influenced by the culture. They're coming brazenly, though, through entertainment. And if you are hooked on any form of entertainment, movies or music or books or graphic novels, I don't even know all the forms of entertainment anymore. Let me remind you that that is a main way that our culture is trying to make your mind into a reprobate mind. That's the goal. When I was here 27 years ago, we would say Hollywood is not your friend. I still believe Hollywood is not your friend, but let me say TikTok is not your friend either. Or Instagram or YouTube. These people aren't trying to build Christ-like character in you. But they're also coming directly through laws and regulations that government is going to pass to try to conform us to the mold of the world. Be not conformed to this world. The Bible tells us that, but they're going to try to make us conform. And I don't have time to go into all the ways they're going to try to do this. So you know, at this point, some of you are saying, well, Pastor Dean, aren't you scared? No, I'm not scared. Why would I be scared? The answer for the reprobate mind is right here in the same chapter, Romans chapter 1. Look with me at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, except those in California, that believeth. Is that what it says? That's what some people act like. I've had people come to me. Oh, in fact, I'm not sure how to tell this story, so I'll tell it this way. When I was looking for a church to pastor, I reached out to a man in Northern California, and he said this to me. He said, why would you want to come to California? The implication behind that is, you know, this state, I mean, it's a terrible state. I'll tell you the answer. Because I believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's powerful enough to bring serial philanderers out of their bondage. It's powerful enough to bring idolaters out of their ignorance. It's powerful enough to bring adulterers out of their unfaithfulness. It's powerful enough to bring gays out of their destructive desires. It's powerful enough to stop thieves from stealing. It's powerful enough to convince consumers that their happiness will never be found in things. It's powerful enough to stop drunkards from drinking. And you say, that's a nice list. That's nice. No, that's what the scripture says. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hold your place in Romans 1. We're going to come back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not pulling this from some sermon I heard. This is what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But here's what I want you to know. And such were some of you. Why aren't they that way anymore? The gospel of Christ changes people. I believe that the gospel is powerful. You must be convinced that the gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful because it's truth. They don't have truth. The reprobate mind doesn't have truth. But what we do, I know, I've seen this, Christians do, we often substitute something else for gospel power. I don't know that we do it consciously, but it's at least subconsciously, we do it because we don't think the gospel is powerful enough. In some cases, we substitute, and again, I mentioned this earlier, we substitute the government for the gospel. We really think the government is going to solve our problems. The problem with the United States is not who's in the White House. That's not the problem. You could change the person in the White House, and we'd still have a problem, wouldn't we? So why do we preach as if we could just get the right president, we could get this nation back on the right track? I've been told that since I was in high school, and we had Ronald Reagan. And we've had Republican presidents, and we've had Democrat presidents, and we've had presidents who professed to be a Christian, and presidents who couldn't get words out of their mouth. And it doesn't matter. Because the problem is not with government. I've got a pastor friend, God bless him, church member, two of his church members called me. My pastor's always preaching on politics. I don't know why he's doing that. The politics is not the power of God into salvation. What's the power of God into salvation? The gospel. Preach the gospel. The gospel is what... I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't fight government. Don't fight government. Look in the book of Acts. Did the apostles, did they worry about who was in charge in government? Yeah, they dealt with government. They preached to government. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. But not one time did they say, you know what we really need to do is we need to get a new governor here in Judea and then everything's going to be fine. We just need a new Roman emperor and we'll figure it out. Some people substitute government for the gospel. Some people substitute music for the gospel. I have a lot of churches in my area who in the last 10 or 15 years, they've changed and they've adopted a completely different style of music. And if you ask the pastor, I've asked a few, why did you change your music? What will he tell me? Well, we've got to reach more people. Does he say, because the music leads to godly living? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, because the music we were using before, that didn't glorify God, and we want music to glorify God. No, he never says that. I've had people come to me, Mongolia and California. Pastor, I like your preaching, but you know what? Your music. If you'll change your music, I'll come to your church. So what did they just said? Music is more important than preaching, right? Didn't they just say that? I like your preaching, but if you change your music, I'll come. Then what they really want is the music. Now, I don't know their hearts as far as if they're Christian or not, but I know this. I don't need people in my church who really want the music. I want people in the church who really want the preaching, the gospel of God. Don't you? So if you're a pastor somewhere and you say, well, you know, if I just switch my music, I can get more people in. If that's your reason for changing your music, then you know what you're saying? I'm not sure the gospel is powerful enough. I need something in addition. I'm telling you, the gospel is powerful. Don't substitute programs for the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about don't be organized. Fairhaven is a wonderfully organized church, and I commend them for that. But many pastors think that the problem is I have the wrong program, and if I just program my church differently, it'll change. No, no, no. What we need, what I need, what Scott Dean needs, what my family needs, what my church needs, what my community needs, what my nation needs is the gospel. What is the gospel? I don't want to take this for granted. What is the gospel? Oh, by the way, I got to keep getting ahead of myself. Back to the text, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. I'll be frank. I'll be candid. Some of you are going to be offended. It's okay. Too many times, conservative Christians like ourselves, we're tempted to limit the gospel's effectiveness to people who look like us. We think what we're really looking for is we're looking for politically conservative, nicely dressed, short haircut, nice dressed people so that we can gather them to be a church. No, 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 no. You're looking for anybody. God will take care of their haircut and their dress. Yeah, things will change in their life, but when you first meet them, they may look weird. Is this being live streamed? Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. If you're in California, just turn it off for 5 minutes, okay? I have people. Maybe if I come down here, I can see. A kind lady in my church came to me. We were having a service just before the worship time. She came to me. Pastor, she said, is that person over there a boy or a girl? I'm glad he came, because you know what he needs? He needs the gospel. He's not going to hear it staying at home on TikTok or YouTube. If he comes to my church, he's going to hear it. Amen? I'll have people this Sunday, most likely, I'll have people this Sunday who will walk into my building and they're going to have a nose ring. God bless them. I wish they would get rid of it. But they're going to hear the gospel. I'm going to have people, you come to my church. Some of you maybe make it there someday. Brother Mitchell's been there. Dr. Mitchell's been there. I've got people, they are tattooed from their, what is this part of your body? Wrist, thank you. From your wrist all the way up to their neck. They're ashamed of it now. They'll tell you that. But before they got saved, that's what they did. And the gospel was powerful enough for them. I've got drunkards in my church that aren't drunkards anymore. Christians will say, well, I couldn't eat with someone who drinks. Well, don't come to California then, because you're going to have a very limited ministry. You know what you need to say? You're going to say, listen, you don't need to drink. Let me give you something better than alcohol. Amen. We're looking for people who think like us. We're looking for people who dress like us. This passage says the power of God to everyone. And I'll be frank, candid, some of you couldn't serve in California. You'd come out there and say, these people are crazy. I'm going back to what people are saying. But I'm telling you, those people need the gospel too. The gospel in a nutshell, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. We're talking about the gospel here. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died. First point of the gospel, Christ died. Second point, for our sins. That's usually where people get hung up. We don't want to admit we're sinners. But Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, I'm going to come back to that, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Here in just about 2 weeks, 10 days, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Don't forget, it wasn't that Christ died for our sins and leave it there. Christ died for our sins and he rose again. And twice it says, according to the scriptures. Why is that significant? Why does he include those little words there, according to the scriptures? Because it reminds us that God is faithful. just like he promised in the Old Testament, he kept his word. And just like he promised in the New Testament, he will keep his word today. And if you are saved by grace through faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about your salvation because it's not up to you. It was never up to you to begin with, but it's certainly not up to you now. God's faithfulness is seen in the gospel. So let me get to my last point here. I asked earlier, or mentioned earlier, some of you might think, well, maybe he's a little bit scared out there with those reprobates. Actually, you'd probably be surprised how many reprobates you have here in Indiana, but that's not the point. I want to tell you why I'm not scared. And that's because God called me to California. Remember the story of Esther? The story of Esther, we like to sort of gloss over and get to the end, and God wins in the end, and praise the Lord, God wins. But can you imagine being Esther and being forcibly taken from your home to be added to some guy's harem? He doesn't know who you are. He doesn't even care. He's already got a bunch of other women. I have no idea what it's like to live in a harem. None of you do. But I can tell you, it's not pleasant. It's not like living in the girls' dorm, trust me. And then Mordecai suggests that she is the closest Jew to the king that is available, and that God must have put her in that harem so she could reach out to King Ahasuerus. Now, I don't know about you, but I can speak for myself. I think if I would have been in Esther's shoes, I would have said, that is the most ridiculous idea I have ever heard. Why would the king listen to me? I can't even go into his presence. If I go into his presence and he doesn't extend the scepter, I die. This is a one shot. We got one shot here. It's not me. Who put her there? God did. God put her there. And if God calls you to a land like California, that's where I want you to be. Have you ever considered that California, if California were a country, it is not. I know we like to think we are. But if we were a country, it would be the 39th most populous country in the world. There are more people who live in Canada, who live in California, than live in Canada. There are more people in California than live in Australia. There are more people who live in California than live in Poland. In fact, if you took Belgium, the South Sudan, Nicaragua, and Mongolia, and put all their populations together, you'd still have more people in California. California is 11% of the United States population. So I should expect that out of this school, those of you that are called to the United States, that about 10% of you would come out to California, right? Right? Okay, I don't think you guys do math. Let's get Mr. Kelso back on staff here or something, guys. I mean, this is ridiculous. My church, just outside of Fairfield, we have 100,000 people in Vacaville. I said Fairfield, Vacaville. 100,000 people in Vacaville. I actually live in the next city over. It's sort of like Gary and Hammond, you know, they're right next to each other. I live in the next city over in Fairfield. We have another 100,000 people in Fairfield. 200,000 people on my doorstep. Do you realize that there's only two metropolitan areas in Indiana that exceed 200,000? Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. I'm 45 minutes from Sacramento. I can get in my car from my house, and in 45 minutes, I can be in Sacramento. Sacramento metro area has 2 million people. I can get in my car and drive the other direction, and I can be in the Bay Area. I'll drive right by Elsa Bronte, Katrina. And we can be in the Bay Area. There's 7.5 million people in the Bay Area. That's more than all of Indiana. I'm challenging this school to send one church planter to Indiana, to the Bay Area for every church planter they send to Indiana. Oh, it's so much easier in Indiana. It's so much cheaper. People actually make sense. Listen, I can't help that they have a reprobate mind. I can help whether I preach to them the gospel. I think of, and this is not a political statement. I'm just saying. I think of Ukrainian President Zelensky. Here he is. His country is invaded by Russia. It doesn't look good. Western nations say, listen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to evacuate you. Now, regardless of how you feel about President Zelensky, and I'm not making a political statement here, I admire President Zelensky for saying, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. Some of you may think, well, you know, Pastor Dean, if you just got out of that crazy state, go to Boise, right? You know, go over to Phoenix, somewhere where people make sense. Listen, I don't want to ride. I want ammunition. I want to put in your heads and in your hearts that maybe God's calling some of you to those 9.5 million people in Northern California. Nothing to say about the 30 million people that are in Southern California. And you won't even consider it. Because you have trouble talking to people with tattoos. You need to get over yourself and you need to decide that the power of God is salvation to everyone that believeth. I don't need another church so I can get out of California. I need some of you young men and young ladies who are bold enough to take the fight to the enemy. I love fighting on the front lines. I'm telling you, it's coming for you, but I'm not going to wait here until it gets here. I'm going to go out and take it on where it is. I'm running a lighthouse where it's darkest. And I can't call you to California. I'm not calling any of you to California. God calls. But I'm going to blow a trumpet. And I'm going to say, come on out and join me in California. If you believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of salvation to everyone that believeth, consider what God could do with you in a state of 40 million people. Today, I know of 5 churches, people, buildings, churches, no pastor, no thought that they'll have a pastor. We need some young men, and I don't need you to graduate and go be the pastor. That's stupid, okay? We need some young men who will graduate from here and who won't be afraid to move to the left coast. Choose it. Washington, Oregon, California, whatever you want to be. And do some spiritual growing there so that here in 5 or 10 years, we don't have a deficit of 20 pastors or 25 pastors. I need some of you, maybe God hasn't called you to be a preacher. Maybe God hasn't called you to be a missionary. I'm not trying to take anyone from your call, but you're going to catch a vision this morning and you'd be willing to go and live in California and serve with the pastor and take on the powers of darkness right there. You say, you know, preacher, those people are weird. Yeah, but the power of the gospel of Christ is the power of God into salvation for everyone. I'm blowing the trumpet this morning. Are you fighting gnats? Are you outraged about all the crazy things that are going on in the United States? Or are you going to run the race that God set before you? Some of you, God's calling. I can't help but believe God's calling you to the left coast. And you need to have enough boldness, enough faith to step out and say, if God calls me, I'm going. Father, thank you for your word. And I'm so grateful that the power for salvation isn't in me. It's not in my intellectual ability. It's not in my strength. We have this power in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I thank you that that power comes from you. This morning, Father, I'm not asking these young people to remember who I am or my church. I'm asking you that you would call some to California for your glory. And whether I'm there or not there, or they ever meet me again in their lives, that they would catch a vision for 40 million people. Yes, many of them reprobates, headed for hell. But the power of the gospel can change their lives. We need more people with tattoos to get saved. We need more people with nose rings to get saved. We need more people who don't know if they're a man or a woman to get saved. Realize what you've created them to be. So Father, would you bless us? Would you call some of these young men and some of these young ladies for your honor? Would you call some of them for your glory? Would you call some of them so that more people, more Christians will be coming to California than will be moving out of California? God, would you do that for your glory? I don't know what you're doing this morning. I don't know what your plan is for California, but I'm so burdened. Would you send more dedicated, devoted young people our way? Father, I bring these things to you, believing that you're the one who calls laborers to the harvest, believing that you've asked me to pray the Lord of the harvest, that you would send laborers into your harvest. And it's with that faith that I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.